Dozens are killed in a container depot explosion in Bangladesh. It's the latest incident to trigger debate on the country's poor industrial safety standards. So is enough being done to protect workers? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I am Hashim Ahalbara. Unfortunately, industrial accidents are too common in Bangladesh. In the latest incident, dozens of people were killed in a fire and explosion at a container port near the city of Chattogram. Hundreds were seriously wounded. Doctors say most people died in the explosion or from inhaling toxic fumes. Firefighters believe a container of chemicals may have caused the blaze. Special branch of the military has been called in to help with the salvage operation. Tanweer Chaudhry has more from the capital, Dhaka.
Rescue and salvage operation is still continuing. Bangladesh firefighters have been helped by special unit of the army. It is still not clearly out of danger. Many of the containers still has fumes and small fires. They are worried that many of the containers could have flammable chemicals, so this is a danger zone. Hospitals are overwhelmed. Many of the injured have been brought to the capital city, Dhaka. Now, the government has announced a compensation package for the injured victims and those who died for their families. The Prime Minister and the President send their condolences to the families. Bangladesh, as we know, has a history of industrial accidents. Since 2013, Rana Plaza industrial accident, much have been improved in this country, especially in the textile and garment sector, but much needs to be improved in other sector. It's a fast-growing economy with many industries coming up. The firefighting equipments are not up to the time. It has to deal with high-rise building, chemical industries, and many other sophisticated industries that are growing around different parts of the country. Now, we know there's a limited resource. There is lack of firefighting equipment in many places. There is lack of enforcement. Experts have warned that in lieu of time, Bangladesh firefighting unit needs to be trained better and better equipped. The most important part, they must be able to enforce these laws in these factories and other places. Those are clearly in danger of accidents and fire. Tanveer Chaudhry for Inside Story.
Let's take a quick look at major industrial accidents in Bangladesh during the last decade. In 2012, 117 workers died when locked exit doors trapped them in a garment factory on fire in the capital, Dhaka. 5 months later, the country suffered its worst industrial disaster when the Rana Plaza clothing factory collapsed. More than 1,100 people were killed. In 2019, a blaze swept through an area crammed with apartments, shops and warehouses in the oldest part of Dhaka, killing at least 70 people. And 52 people died last June when a fire destroyed a food and drink factory. Many were trapped inside by a door that was illegally locked. Bangladesh recently held its first industrial safety forum with the International Labour Organization. They discussed developing a national industrial safety framework with a focus on building safety and better protection for workers. Government ministers say committees have been set up to review labour laws. Civil society groups say smaller factories that make up the bulk of the industrial sector often fail to carry out routine safety checks. Let's bring in our guests in Dhaka. Hundaka Ghulam Muazzam, Research Director of the Center for Policy Dialogue Think Tank. Together with the International Labour Organization, they organized the first Industrial Safety Forum last month. In Brussels, Ben Van Pepper-Strater, Senior Legal Advisor at the European Center for Constitutional and Human Rights. And in London, Stephen Cotton, General Secretary of the International Transport Workers Federation. It has 15 affiliated unions in Bangladesh. Welcome to the programme. Hundaka, I mean, from past incidents, could this be another act of negligence and poor safety procedures?
I think you're right that this is one of a reflection of lack of governance in case of the industrial safety point of view. Bangladesh has, over the last one decade, has made improvement in industrial safety in the ready-made garment sector, which is a major export product. But similar kinds of industrial safety haven't yet actually ensured for non-ready-made garment products and chemical industries. And because of that, these kinds of incidents happened in Bangladesh. So we need to actually now think of improvement of the industrial safety, not only on the one sector, but across the board for all important safety concern related sectors and industries.
Ben, I mean, on paper, the government would tell you you've made some progress. When you look at this particular incident, 4,000 containers stored in a depot, and then some of those containers have chemical substances that helped spread the fire. The firefighters were struggling to contain the fire. You don't get a sense whatsoever that they have really learned a great deal from past incidents.
Yeah, I would fully concur with that. On paper, Bangladesh always looked stellar. The fire and building safety regulations in the country on paper are up to the mark. They align with international standards on fire and building safety. But the problem is that the regulations remain a paper tiger, because the problem is really in the enforcement. It's about the inspectorate, how many people are in the inspectorate. So the inspectorate also has the mandate to compel specific actions, for example, closing something or temporary shutting some high-risk areas down. Does it have actually enough independence vis-a-vis the sites it inspects? The real problem in Bangladesh has been and still, unfortunately, remains enforcement.
Stefan, many now are blaming small factories in Dhaka for the incidents that have been taking place for the last few years. You have 15 unions which are affiliated with you. What is the biggest concern? What is the biggest problem as far as their presence in Bangladesh is concerned?
Thanks, Hassan. I think, just echoing the other commentators, that the big challenge is making sure that what's written up, both in the legislation and the guidelines about occupational health and safety, are enforceable and delivered. So for us, that the big concern here seems to be that containers with unidentified contents. So the firefighters don't know how to respond, and there's obviously a question in the leading part of the article about, is the standard good enough for really for chemicals that are highly flammable and very dangerous? So the question is for us is enforcement, transparency, and how to respond. So for all of our unions, which are mostly in the transport sector, it's all about ensuring that the international standards go into Bangladesh and are enforceable.
Khundakar, I mean, the blast shook an entire neighbourhood and is raising questions about the same issue that people were concerned about for many years, which is the presence of chemical plants located in proximity with towns. And nothing has been done about this.
Yes, you're right that over the years, these kinds of incidents has happened. And earlier also, the same kinds of incidents we observed in the vicinity of the locality, where lots of people actually stay put. But no major changes happen in terms of relocation of these kinds of factories to a safer places, as well as there are not a proper culture developed to improve the safety-related compliances in the factories. Mm-hmm. What is the unfortunate part here is that often an incident has happened, and after that, our government and other agencies look for who is actually responsible for that and try to find out and try to blame each other. But the problem here is that no such safety culture has yet to develop in case of the industrial safety point of view here in Bangladesh. So it is important to create that kinds of industrial safety culture at the factory level, so where it is not actually look into the incidences after a factory has established and its operation started, but before that, when a factory is actually built in, mm-hmm. from there that on, the safety related issues need to be checked in properly, registration and licenses to be actually monitored properly, so that any kinds of incidences won't be actually be reduced. And that kinds of things haven't yet actually done. So need to have a safety culture from the very first, since the establishment of the factory, and then its operation, and finally in the course of time. So that kinds of culture, okay. and practice need to be improved.
We will go now into some details about the very industry itself, the regulations, the law, the deals that have been signed in the past, and why we still have those problems. Ben, the garment industry is the backbone of the Bangladeshi economy, accounts for something like 80% of the export revenues, employs more than 4 million people. You might think, since this is the pride of the nation, the government would be looking after it. This is not the case whatsoever.
No, that's totally right. Garments are important for the export. I wouldn't say it's the backbone of the economy, because there's also some domestic sectors that are really important. But it is really the flagship industrial sector, and it is also the flagship industrial sector in the sense that it's where, as we saw earlier in the show, where a lot of these industrial accidents have happened. And where there also were plenty of opportunities to learn from and improve the labor inspectorates as well as the fire and building safety inspectors. So it is an important industry of the country. It's an important industry with lots of international attention, but it's also an industry that is fraught with all kinds of problems, where we do see that fire and building safety issues are prevalent, but also labor rights are thwarted significantly. There is a problem of limited freedom of association, so workers can't join or form a union of their own choosing. The wages are low. Now we just had COVID, where we saw all kinds of workers working in even poorer occupational health and safety situations, sometimes being dismissed without a safety net present. So there's all. It's a sector, unfortunately, that is rampant with problems, but also a sector which is prevalent of solutions, notably on how to build an inspectorate that is capable of actually inspecting the fire and building safety of specific facilities. On the one hand, and secondly, where also compensation has already been provided according to international standards, notably to the Tazreen fire and the Rana Plaza disaster. So there's also so much that can already be taken and mainstreamed throughout the economy from that specific sector.
Stefan, speaking about those solutions that Ben was talking about, so you have this industry where you have key players, the global fashion retailers, the trade unions, you have 15 unions affiliated with you, and then you have the factory owners, and still we're having these same problems. Do you think that this could be the moment to talk about an independent inspection mechanism that would be overseeing all the different aspects of the process to prevent such incidents in the future?
Thanks, Esther. That's a great question. I think for us, first, we need an independent investigation, and I would encourage international observers, because we need to know exactly what happened here. The Rana Plaza situation gave us an opportunity to connect the lead firms, the multinationals, those with a big reputation, directly, as we would say, to the supply chain or to due diligence. And we think right now this is more important than ever. And Ben mentioned it. COVID highlighted workplace occupational health and safety, and COVID highlighted the weaknesses in our global supply chains, whether it be from the manufacturing, from the global south to the global north. Now, we really have to look at how we're accountable, and I would encourage not just the Bangladeshi authorities, but also the clients of the factories, the occupational health and safety authorities, and again, It's not just a Bangladeshi challenge to have good quality labour inspectors who enforce regulations. So for us, we see it in the sense of due diligence. So it could be the multinational that contracts the Bangladeshi company. What we need to understand, particularly in this incident, is what exactly happened and what do we need to put in place. But the battle goes on, and I think there's a big question, certainly for your viewers and consumers as a whole. We all want to have the best possible materials, but we've also got to understand that comes at a price. And Bangladesh needs more investment, and we need to be able to hold the clients of the individual companies. Just one point on the workers' rights and freedom of association. Bangladesh has a checkered record in this space, and it's difficult to raise effective unions in very small factories. So we continue to work with parties, our unions, to have a strong relationship with government, have a tripartite model as enforced by the ILO, but we do need the global employers to recognise they have a responsibility to every worker in their supply chain.
Kundakar, I mean, since the tragedy of 2013, there have been deals to try to regulate the whole sector. The 2021 International Accord for Health and Safety in the textile and garment industry was widely seen as a turning point, because first of all, it's a legally binding pact where all the parties will be held accountable in case of a disaster. But in this particular case, is it the atmosphere of impunity which has been prevailing in your country that has contributed to this tragedy?
I think the ready-made garment sector, what we observe over the decade, is some sort of a shared responsibility, both from the brand's buyer's point of view, as well as from the supplier's end, as well as from the local government, as well as international sourcing countries. And therefore, a good improvement happened in terms of improvement of the workplace safety in the ready-made garment sector. What is unfortunate part here is that not all the supply chains are so much strong, particularly with regard to the global supply chain. We are very few of such industries which have a strong global supply chains other than the ready-made garment sector. And that has a major problem here. Here is that we couldn't actually create much more pressure from the supplier buyer's end to improve the workplace safety and security. Unfortunately, we observed that if the brand's buyers and the international buyers has taken a major initiative from the global compliance point of view, it is rather easier for improvement of the workplace safety here. And for that point of view, the non-ready-made garment sector has limited participation of the international brands buyers. So that is a challenge of how we could actually improve it through the local level initiatives. There are some initiatives which are currently ongoing. Bangladesh Investment Development Authority has taken an initiative by inspecting 5,000 factories, but this is at a very elementary level, which has need to have a major significant improvement in terms of inspecting and thereby creating a safety framework. Unless and until a safety framework could be established and all the responsible agencies could be brought in there and to be make responsible, it is rather difficult from the to ensure the safety at this stage. So I think a local level initiative for the non-ready-made garment sector is very, very important, for which this industrial safety forum under the ILO that has now tried to establish an industrial safety framework in the country.
Ben, again, I have here an issue with the agreements, with the intention of the government. Like with this particular deal, the last deal, they said that there is an entity called the Garment Sustainability Council, the GSC, which is mandated to oversee the implementation of the deal and ensure that the workers in the garment industry operate in a very safe environment. No warning whatsoever. I mean, you ask anyone who is dealing with this sector and he will tell you, you know what? It's just a matter of time before another incident will hit again and again.
That analysis is certainly correct, because the reason that once Rana Plaza happened, people had to resort to an international court was notably a failure of the national institutions to prevent this. Because even before Rana Plaza, or even before Tazreen, there's also a decade of track record of industrial accidents. So even at that moment in time, and that's unfortunately now almost 10 years ago, that was a disaster in the making, and people were already seeing it coming. It was just not clear when and in what extent. So in that sense, it's very painful to see how little has been learned, whereas all the elements are on the table. So indeed, maybe the reason that the accord, the international agreement between brands and international union was formed, mm-hmm. was notably to find a form of accountability and transparency at international level, knowing that the collusion between industry interests and the government was too intense in Bangladesh to allow for an independent inspectorate. Here, depending on the sector, we need to maybe tailor that a bit, but the same ingredients of independence to the inspectorate, accountability, transparency, capacity are on the table. Secondly, everything related to unions, because Mr. Cotton has also focused on mm-hmm. that, unions in Bangladesh don't have a lot of space. The labor laws fall short to international minimum standards, and already again for a few decades, and the ILO has repeatedly pointed its attention on that. And there's also repeatedly been roadmaps on how to amend the labor law, how to improve the labor inspectorate, et cetera, how to establish occupational health, mm-hmm. health and safety committees. And so it's really about redusting those
stands. I see your point.
And then the third pillar is, after Rana Plaza and Tazreen, we did manage to come up with an international compensation scheme, which was aligned with ILO Convention 121. So there is a approved model, which is up to the mark. The question there was to generalize that into a national employment injury insurance scheme that would have immediately now kickstarted compensation to all the victims. And that's still not on the table. So that's also a plan that is ready and ready to roll out.
Stephen, when you look, this is an economy that is recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic. 2 years ago, $2.8 billion worth of orders were either cancelled or paused. Now, there is massive pressure on the workers to boost production, and people are saying that wages, safety conditions now are going to be relegated to the sidelines with all these concerns now about safety procedures.
So for us, the principles laid out by our colleague from the ILO remain very, very strong. I think it's critical, and we learned throughout the COVID period, that you have to build very strong collaborations. And I think it's our invitation to the Bangladeshi government, but also the leading brands that are those contractors. I think it's utterly critical in the European Union. We've seen new laws come in France and laws in the process in Germany about due diligence. And what does that mean? It means that the contractor or the economic employer, the multinational lead firm, has responsibility all the way through the supply chain. Now, we understand the economic pressure on the Bangladeshi government to bring foreign currency. But of course, it doesn't work unless you have the pillar of a strong, independent labour inspectorate. It doesn't work unless you have strong trade unions to represent the workers in the workplace and with an influence in the legislation. So for us, it's a critical time to reflect. This incident is one of many. Something isn't working as it should do, and we need to re-energise the significant stakeholders. And let's be very clear, it's mm-hmm. the economic power of the multinational firms that needs to be brought to play to hold each and every part of the supply chain, so the manufacturing, the transportation, the depot that we're in question here, into an accountability in a very clear standard. And of course, all of us in the labour movement are very keen to be part of that process.
Thank you. Kondakha Ghulam, Muazzam Ben, Vam Pabastrata and Stephen Cotton. I really appreciate your insight. Thank you. And thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page, That's facebook.com/AJ Insight Story. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJ Insight Story. From me, Hashim Mahlbara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.